Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Kropp, director of the center, and I'm here with Priscilla Weigel and Dia Anderson, also my co-workers here at the center. Welcome you two.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So we have already done part one on this discussion of really the title of our podcast, Inclusion Matters. Why? Mm-hmm. Why does inclusion matter? Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue with this podcast for our listeners and continue and do part two on why we think inclusion matters to our listeners and to the children and families that they work with.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of going right into that, looking at some more of the pieces of development that are so critical for young children, and we look at the motor realm, fine motor, gross motor. That sometimes is really challenging, I think, for providers if a child has some significant needs in the motor area, because they think, oh, what could I provide in the setting that I'm, you know, the environment that I'm setting up for kids? What could I do? How can I make it really useful to this child and also not make them feel like they're always lagging behind? And I think that what we've seen over the years is really, it's not a magic key. It's thinking about kids, just what's fun for kids, and making everything accessible that's fun for kids. So if you look at outdoor play spaces, so maybe you have a child who's not going to be able to climb to the top of the climber right now, but how can you incorporate the way that climber is set up and what activities are happening around that climber that will encourage other kids to meet that child where they're able to be on the climber? So maybe it means at the base of the climber, you help them set up some sort of fort, and that's home base. And then they go out and they gather up rocks or whatever, and they bring it back. And the child that's unable to climb to the top maybe can put them all in a bucket and develop a pulley system and pull them up to the top and lower them down. But what you've done there is you've extended that social piece, which we love, that play piece, that creativity, because what happens is when kids see you do that as an adult, they're more apt to do it themselves, and pretty soon you don't have to adapt the play outside. The kids are doing it.
Right.
They're saying, I know how to help, you know, Joey get involved. Remember when we did that one thing? Well, let's do it this way now. And I mean, it's amazing how quickly they figure that out. And then it's just this sense of joy because they see their peer being a part of what they're doing, and it's so much richer for them. Their play is richer.
It's almost like they need permission in a way.
Right.
If they've seen a adult be hesitant, or if they've seen an adult perhaps just, let's say, bring a child who happens to be in a wheelchair just out to the outskirts of the play area and then maybe not know how to bring them further into play, then the children also could kind of read those cues.
Right.
Whereas, as you say, the teacher who starts this involvement piece, kids are super creative and open to the experience, but it's like they need to know it's okay to do
that. Right. Exactly.
Yep.
And I think that too, even just saying out loud to the kids, okay, Joe's in his wheelchair, you guys, he wants to play over at the fort by you. How are we going to get him there? I need helpers. Let's think. What do we have on the playground that could do that? And it's amazing what they come up with. And just that opportunity to see everyone be excited about getting outside instead of the provider thinking, okay, that means one child's going to be sitting, I'm going to feel guilty, I'm going to see them sitting there, and I'm not going to know what to do. Just get everybody involved, because children are very creative with ideas. And moving from the motor realm, so that's gross motor, and you look at fine motor too. I mean, there are lots of different ways that you can have a child using a scissors, or maybe they're just ripping paper or whatever, but fine motor things, small manipulatives, there's a lot of different ways to adapt what's out on a table or at a rug. Maybe the child just needs some hand-over-hand support. And so once again, as you were saying, Cindy, modeling that to the other kids, and then being willing to step away a little bit and let those other children understand how to help that child and how they can build together. And so it doesn't seem like there's always that adult doing it for the other child, but encouraging everybody to play together. And maybe there's a part of the building that one child can do, another part that another child can do, and looking at it as a team approach. Because we know those kids are going to have to be working in teams as they go through school, elementary and middle school and high school. Not everybody's going to come with the same skill set. So it's the same idea. It's that whole piece that you were talking about, Ia, in the last, was just looking at folks that are maybe a little different than you are, but still, we all live together here on this planet.
Well, and I was thinking even, you know, for those children that are really maybe very involved physically and aren't able to manipulate blocks in the block area, but that doesn't mean they can't choose which blocks are going to be put on next.
Right.
They can help with the idea of the structure, and you know, often, you know, children, we can tell, even if they aren't able to speak, we can tell by their eyes and their smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're able to make choices that way, and even just teaching the other children the fact that, you know, so and so can do this, and you know, this is how she tells us no, and
mm-hmm.
this is how she tells us yes,
and,
and helping them to see that they can include the child in that way, even just by making simple choices, and how empowering that can be for that child too,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, she's involved and a part of the action, so to speak.
Right, right. And that, taking that adaptability and that willingness to learn and support with permission, you know, giving that, giving everybody the feeling in whatever setting you're in, just that we're all in the, we're all kids. We all want to have fun. And if you look at even the sensory realm, so you're at the sand table and everybody's around, and one child maybe has, you know, the, I can't even think what, the sift thing that is like the wheel
mm-hmm.
that's like the hot commodity there, and another child maybe is doing some shoveling, but working together and saying, hey, can you help him, let's have him put the sand in and then you can scoop it out, and working together and giving them specific suggestions on what to do, and then again stepping away and just watching what happens, because we've seen over and over again children will take that and run with it, you know, they'll just they'll come up with ideas.
Well, and those types of things too, I mean, yes, it's helping with you know, the sensory needs that young children have and their fine motor and gross motor skills, but it also is helping with that social emotional piece in that they're learning to take turns.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And to wait.
The self-regulation, which we know is so important for young children.
And that's part of, as we're talking about why inclusion matters for all children, I mean, for the child, again, who doesn't have a particular special need or an assessment, let's say, of a disability, for the child who needs to use a little more, who has to wait a little bit longer, or help in helping their peer, that's a regulatory piece for that child as well. That's a benefit for that child.
Definitely.
You know, to have to do a little bit more sometimes. And we don't want any one child to always be the helper or the one who waits. But for all the children in the classroom or the child care program, to be helpers of one another, not just a child with a special need, but that's their role, and they know they're helpers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're making great citizens of the world that way.
Exactly.
That's what we want to see.
And as far as language and communication development, I think often we don't think about the fact that by being in an inclusive setting, that the children that don't have special needs, they're being exposed to a greater vocabulary.
Definitely.
Right.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of words that they might not otherwise hear.
Sure.
Names of special equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk more about patience
mm-hmm.
and cooperation and those kinds of things. So
I think
it really can enrich the environment and just encourage speech and language development in that sense of having a broader, richer vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and empathy as well, when we look at the social-emotional piece, is a little more sophisticated of an emotional milestone. But if there's foundational pieces to that that we put into place as we're modeling to children how we interact with all of the kids and what we reinforce in their behaviors with one another. And so So we're really building that empathetic response in children as well as they're responding to each other and helping each other, which is great. We want these little empathetic human beings.
Right. And to be able to say to a child, well, you know what? Joey's body feels better when he's in the front of the line because then there's nobody else in front of him and it just helps his brain feel better in his body. Is that okay with you? And though, you know, once again, that's an opportunity to have that child to really take stock in the fact that, you know what, it doesn't matter if I'm in the front, but it's really important to my friend Joey because we've built that connection and that community in the family child care or the preschool or the child care setting that child is a part of.
Excellent. So overall, I guess we'd say inclusion matters?
Yes, it does.
To all children.
To all children.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Thank you both very much.
Sure.
I hope this was helpful to our listeners. And again, we have so many resources on the CICC website. We encourage people to go explore, look around. And Priscilla, you've got one more thing to add before we close.
Well, I just wanted to also say to the listeners out there, we really do encourage you to send us ideas, so it helps us figure out what other podcasts we can put together and talk about. We want things to be relevant and useful to you, so send those ideas.
Yep, and there's at the bottom of the podcast page, there's a feedback form, so that's easy. It comes right to us. So thank you all very much for listening. Thank you, too, for being here. And conclude this podcast of Inclusion Matters.
Thanks.
That's all for now. See you next time.